Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
What's up, Lifeway? Hey, this is Matt Keller, founding and lead pastor of Next Level Church in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. I want you to know I love Pastor Andrew and Shiloh. You guys are incredible, and I'm so excited and honored to be bringing this message to you today. So the message that you're about to see is entitled Threshold of Scary. And inside of this message, there's some, I think, some paradigm-shifting concepts. So here's what I want you to do. Lean in, get ready to take notes, because I think God is going to speak to you some concepts this weekend that have the power to change your spiritual life forever. So thanks for being here. I'm pumped. I can't wait to hear what God does in your life through this message. Here you go.
Well, this weekend, I want to share a concept with you, church, that I believe has the power to change everything in our spiritual lives. It has the power to give us a language, a vocabulary, if you will, about how we grow in our faith as followers of Jesus. But let me start by asking us a question. Have you ever hit a wall in some area of your life? You know what I'm talking about? Like you're tracking along, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hit a wall. Maybe it's in a relationship. Come on, single people. You're dating somebody, and everything's just cruising along, and then all of a sudden, it's like, wall. Anybody, right? Or maybe it's in your career, and you're just cruising along, and all of a sudden, it feels like things just like, you kind of hit, like an invisible wall. Or maybe you're learning a new skill. I know for me, here's some confession and accountability. I am in the very early stages of learning to speak Spanish. Yes, come on, Spanish-speaking brothers and hermanos and hermanas, I got you. Let's go. Here's the thing, though. I need you to desposito, all right? I need you to slow it on down, baby girl, because I cannot understand that fast, all right? Already in just a few months of just learning Spanish already, just a little bit I've learned, there have been a couple of times where I felt like I've hit a wall, like I'm cruising along, and then I'm like, oh, and it just, boom. Okay, here's what I want us to understand. Have you ever felt that way in your relationship with God? See, church, here's what I think. I think that every one of us, if we're going to walk with God for any length of time, then there are these moments in time where we feel like we've hit a wall. You know what I mean? Like you're cruising along and you and Jesus are good. And then all of a sudden you just feel like, and like pride comes flying out of nowhere. Like insecurity comes flying out of nowhere. All of a sudden, like some crazy sin thing comes flying back in your life. And you're like, man, I thought I dealt with, like, what is happening right now? Like, I know for me, I've had this so many times in serving Jesus, following Jesus for 28 years now. Man, there have been so many times, hundreds of times in my relationship with God, where I'm just walking along, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, boom, we hit this wall. Well, what is that? Well, this weekend, I want to take a few minutes, and I want to break it down for us, what's going on in our spiritual life, and how God is at work in our life, in those wall type of moments. Here, let me see if I can illustrate this. So, in our spiritual life, every one of us are on what I would call a spiritual growth continuum, a spiritual growth continuum. In other words, like picture your life like this straight line. And so at one end, it keeps going and going. On the other end, it keeps going and going. And so for us, as we're moving toward Christ, we know at this end what we want to be. We know what it is. We want to be more like Christ. And we also know on the other end, we know this, that this is what we don't want to be, less like Christ. We want to be more led by the Spirit, but less, you know, led by the flesh. So on that end, we know what we want to be, more like Christ. This end, less like Christ. And we know that too. But then every day then, basically, we're moving in that direction, that the whole goal of our life is to every day take steps in that direction. But here's the thing, there are what I would call thresholds of scary. Come on, everybody say thresholds of scary. Thresholds of scary that we all have to face and cross in order for us to move toward Christ. Here's what that would look like. A threshold of scary. And every one of us, as we're walking with God in our life, come to these moments in time. And some of them are big moments in time. Some of those thresholds are scary, or just small little ones, but the big ones come every so often, the little ones come maybe as much as often as daily. I know for me, again, there have been seasons of my life where those thresholds are scary. They're like, man, I feel like every day is like a new choice, and like we just, like I just hit this wall. And throughout the Bible, we see this everywhere. That we see people in the Bible who over and over again are moving in the direction of becoming more like Christ. They're moving that direction. And then they hit this invisible sort of threshold of scary. I think of Jacob in the book of Genesis. Classic illustration of this, that here he is trying to please God, and then he hits this wall, and it's the Bible says that he literally wrestled with God all night. That was a threshold of scary, where he comes to this choice. Or I think about Peter, the night before Jesus was crucified. And here he is, three times he's around the campfire, and these people, like, they look at him and they're like, aren't you one of them? Like, aren't you a follower of Jesus? And three times, threshold of scary, and he denies Christ all three times. Or this is like a small one, like Martha in the book of Luke. Remember the story where Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house? And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, though, she's busy in the kitchen, right? And she's serving and she's doing the whole deal. And the longer the night goes, the more judgmental of her sister she gets. Until finally Jesus is like, hey, Martha, knock it off. Mary's chosen the better thing. Hey, Martha, change what you're doing. Threshold is scary. Adjust. Or like Moses. In the book of Exodus, where he strikes the rock, the people are complaining about not having water, and so God says, strike the rock, and I'll give you water. He hits the rock once, boom, water flows, fills up this huge lake, everybody has water. But then in the book of Numbers, we see him at another threshold of scary, people complaining about the water again. He strikes the rock twice, though, but now it's in the flesh, and God's like, no, different consequence. It's all throughout Scripture, this idea of a threshold of scary. Now, here's the thing. How do you and I know when we've hit one of these thresholds of scary? Well, here's how I would say it. We know that we've hit one of these thresholds of scary when it manifests itself outwardly. Plain and simple, we're going to see some outward signs. It's going to manifest itself outwardly in our life. And over the last couple of years, as we've kind of embraced this concept of threshold of scary, and as I've taught it in different areas, and as a team, we've broke it down, here's what we've come to realize. There's about 10, at least 10, what I would call outward signs. And maybe you want to jot these down or take a picture of the screen right now, whatever. Because watch this. Every single time we hit a threshold of scary in our life, I promise you, at least one, but most of the time, a combination of these start to come out. Things like pride. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're cruising along, and all of a sudden, boom, this pride thing sort of like hits you out of nowhere, fear. And the next thing you know, you're like at this moment, and you're like, oh, why am I so afraid? Like, what's going on? Or insecurity. Look at this one. Evidence of undealt with pain. So big. So big. You're cruising along, relationship's going well, and then all of a sudden there's like this, like boom, there's like this evidence of pain or anger. Or oh, here's a good one, overreaction. Overreaction. Listen, whenever our reaction to an action is an overreaction, it's always, always, always evidence of a threshold of scary. What? Say it again. Whenever our reaction to an action is an overreaction, I can guarantee you, you're at a threshold of scary in your relationship with God. Every time. Every time, judgmentalism, finger pointing, excuse making. The minute we start going, well, if they wouldn't have, well, if the circumstance, well, if life wouldn't have dealt me this deck of cards, hands of blah, 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 right? It's that. Guilt and shame. They always ride together, by the way. We know we've hit a threshold of scary when any combination of these outward signs start to emerge in our life. It looks like this, that they kind of live up here. We know we've hit a threshold of scary in that moment. So what do we do? How do we cross a threshold of scary? Well, I want to give you three words. Look at this. Crossing a threshold of scary requires humility. Come on, everybody say humility. That comes from an awareness. Say awareness. Of our sinfulness. Good, you got it. When the word's in red, say it. Awesome. Good idea. Crossing a threshold of scary requires humility that comes from awareness. Self-awareness is a gift. And that self-awareness says, you know what? This is my sin nature coming out of me. Oh, man, this is my sin nature. So watch this. Whenever we hit a threshold of scary, we're going to see humility, awareness, and sinfulness. That's what is required every time we hit a threshold of scary in our life. Now, let me break down those words for us. Humility, what is that? Very simply this, acknowledging that we may not see the world right. That's what it means to humble ourselves. To go, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I'm not seeing the world right. Maybe I don't know everything there is to know about myself yet. That's the self-awareness piece. Being able to humble ourselves. When we see those outward signs, we go, whoa, time out. Maybe something bigger's going on. Maybe God's trying to do something greater in me. And see, awareness is when we're confronted with the reality of who we truly are. Did you get that? What's awareness? Awareness is when we're confronted with the reality of who we really are, truly are. And sinfulness is obviously just less than God's perfect standard. So watch this. Whenever we hit a threshold of scary, church, it requires humility that comes from awareness that I am a sinner. The Apostle Paul talked about this when he was writing to the church at Rome. We know it as the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7, look what the Apostle Paul said. I love this. He said, so I find this law at work. It's a law. It's an absolute. In other words, this happens every time I hit a threshold. Every time I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, there it is. Evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In other words, in my innermost being, I know what I want to do. I want to please God, but I see another law at work. And look what he says. He says, this law is waging war. Everybody say waging war. This law is waging war against the law of my mind. And here's the result. Look, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin within me. Paul says, I know what I want. I know what God wants. I know what that other side is supposed to look like. And I'm so aware that there's a war going on inside of me. Ever felt like that? See, Paul's having a threshold, a scary moment where he's coming face to face with who he truly is and the reality of it. And church, listen, when we hit a threshold, we have to recognize I'm not okay. When we hit a threshold, we, like Paul, have to say, Jesus, I need you. God, you got to show up. This is so huge. We have to humble ourselves before God. The word we would use to describe that is brokenness. Brokenness. What does it take for us to get across a threshold of scary? It requires embracing brokenness. See, to get from a threshold of scary, go ahead, to where we want to be, the other side, it requires a deep work of brokenness. Now, here's the thing. When I talk about brokenness, listen, I'm not talking about a state of unfixable. Because sometimes we think broken and we're like, oh, man, like broken. No. Not unfixable. Not beyond fixing. When we talk about brokenness biblically, we're talking about complete surrender before the Lord. And this is that moment for Paul when he says, I need Jesus, that I'm so messed up, like it's not working. This war is raging in me at that threshold of scary. This was Paul, and I love how Paul continues his thought. Romans 7, look. He says, what a wretched man I am. Come on, church, ever felt like that? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? In other words, I'm standing at this threshold. And I'm so aware of my sinfulness, but look what he says. Thanks be to God. Come on, somebody. Thanks be to God who does what? Who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what's possible. Deliverance from God. See, this is Paul recognizing his need for more of Jesus in his life, his need to be delivered. Now, watch this. This is so big. When Paul wrote this, he's not just describing his salvation experience. He had already been saved for years. At this point where he's writing to the church at Rome, he is one of the most influential Christian leaders in the world. So he's not just describing a salvation one and done experience. He's saying, listen, even I, Paul would say, with all of my influence, with all of the churches we planted, with all of the letters, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Are you kidding me? And yet here is this guy, this spiritual saint, who's saying, man, I just hit these places, these thresholds of scary, where I'm just reminded of how wretched I am, how I need Jesus to deliver me. And church, here's what I want us to understand. When we think about this idea of brokenness, oftentimes we love in our Christian world to think of it as moments or as an event, right? Go ahead. But what it really truly is it's not what we're talking about. Getting from here to here is not a moment. It's not an event. It's actually a season. See, we love to think in moments. We love to think, I prayed that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, let's move on. Right, it's very American of us. So wait, this whole thing can't be microwaved, right? But watch this. God's working a process in our heart. With man, church, if we can get this, I'm telling you. Because this is where we find. This is our life. And see, what God wants us to understand is it's not a moment. It's not just an event. It's a season of brokenness. And here's what maybe is the scariest thing of all. We know what we want to be. We know what we don't want to be. And we know where we are. But when we talk about crossing a threshold of scary, we don't know that. We can't. It's like we're standing on a mountain looking at a mountain, but the valley between is foggy and dark. And we're looking into this valley going, yeah, but if I step across, I don't know what's down there. I don't know how deep that goes. How far down are we going? And by the way, we're not just talking, when I talk about a brokenness, a season of brokenness, this is not behavior modification. God's not in the business of getting us to behave better. This ain't about acting gooder. It's not that. What God's trying to do in us is bring us to these thresholds, this right, like, well, what's a threshold? When you go from one room to another. When we cross this threshold of scary, God's saying, listen, I don't want behavior modification. Paul wasn't saying, oh, wretched man that I am, I hope I can do better tomorrow. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, Jesus, deliver me. We need delivered through. That's what God's up to in our life. It's not behavior modification, it's soul transformation. This is a supernatural, a spiritual metamorphosis that God wants to bring us through. Spiritual metamorphosis. Of course, when I say the word metamorphosis, we instantly think of what? Yes, caterpillar to butterfly, right? Like it is like that is the universal answer for metamorphosis. Thank you, fifth grade science, right? Like, isn't it crazy? Metamorphosis, that's what God's doing in us. God's not interested in us becoming a better caterpillar. God's bringing us to a, come on, I could preach if I could get a little help up in here, right? I'm telling you, God's not trying to help us be better caterpillars. No, God's going, I want you to fly, baby. I want you to be a butterfly. But from caterpillar to butterfly, is cocoon. And cocoons are dark. Cocoons are slimy. Cocoons are lonely. Cocoons are hard. Cocoons are unknown. But that's the process God takes us on. So what does it look like? What does a season of brokenness look like in our life? Well, James actually talks about this in his letter that he wrote. James chapter 4, he starts to describe for us what this season of brokenness starts to look like. And he actually talks about it in three phases. I want you to see this. Here's what he says. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. I want to say resist the devil. And he will flee from you. That's an awesome promise. If we resist, he'll flee. Here's another awesome promise. Come near to God, and he will, everyone say will, come near to you. What a great promise. Now, here's the thing. For us in modern day Christianity, you know how if we were writing the Bible, we would write the next verse, resist the devil and he'll flee. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And if you do this, everything in your life will be awesome. The road will instantly become flat without any hiccups or bumps, and all of life will be easy, and all of the cupcakes will have extra frosting. At least that's how I would complete the verse. Right? That's what we in modern American Christianity would say the next verse is. That is not what James said. Check this out. Wash your hands, you sinners. Whoa. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Wow. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble. There it is. Yourselves before the Lord. And if you do, he'll lift you up. That's not how we would complete the thought. But thankfully, James, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, writes and he says, listen, if you're going to cross a threshold of scary, if you're gonna experience this spiritual transformation, then this is really going to, it's going to break down into a season of embracing brokenness, our complete surrender. Remember, that's brokenness, complete surrender to our God. Through Jesus, and it really is three phases. I want to break this down. The first is this, what I would say, grief. He says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Our word today we'd use is conviction. And it's interesting in that verse in James, he uses the phrase, wash your hands. See, when we hit a threshold of scary, all of a sudden, a combination of those 10 things, right, those outward signs, fly up in us of pride or insecurity or finger-pointing or excuse-making, whatever. And in that moment, conviction, hopefully, conviction of the Holy Spirit hits our heart. So let me illustrate this practically. So let's say that a spouse or a friend or a pastor or a leader in your life, you know, confronts us or says something or does something to us, or even more, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to us, and God starts to convict us in our heart. Listen, put it back in the friend thing or the spouse thing or the pastor thing, right, or a leader. And they sit us down, hey, I love you, but man, I've noticed some things, and they start to share something with us. Our instant flesh response is what? Anger, pride, insecurity, fear, evidence of undealt with pain from our past, right? Finger pointing, well, who do they think? Well, how could they? I can't believe they'd say that to me. Right? Like we make me like two syllables, like me. But hopefully, after a few minutes or a few hours, maybe a few days, cooler heads prevail. And what do we do? We're like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Like my reaction to them, they just loved me. They were just trying to help. So at a minimum, we feel conviction. So what do we do? Oh, I got to wash my hands. Hey, bro, sorry I reacted that way. I was having a bad day. We good, bro? See ya. Right? This is where most of us stop. We have the conversation. We shoot a text. No, they know we're good. They know we're bros. They love me. So we're good. We're good, right? We good? You good, bro? I'm good, bro. All right, bro. Bro, stop saying bro. Right? This is where most of us stop. We think, oh, what? I washed my hands. Even to God. Well, oh, yeah, God, sorry I had that bad attitude. Forgive me. Amen. Behavior modification. Do you see it? James says, no, listen, that's the first part, allowing the conviction of the Holy Spirit to help us. But if all we do is change our outside, wash our hands, say we're sorry I didn't react right. It's like a kid, right? Parents looks at us and goes, I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside, right? Like, it's that kind of a thing. Like, it's just surface level. And James is like, no, that's not what we're doing here. So what does he say? He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Then he takes it a step further. Purify your hearts, you double minded. Here's the second one. It's the mourn part. The first is grieve. Number two is mourn. Our word would be confession. And confession not just to one another, but confession to God. Purify your hearts. Now we're getting somewhere. The next step, watch, if we don't just gloss over it or fly by it or just brush it off or just kind of blow it off. No, if we'll actually pause in that moment and let our present circumstances allow God to use those to get us to dig deeper in our heart through His Holy Spirit, this is where change comes. This is where purification happens. That when we stop in that moment, and don't just brush it off or blow it off or just get offended. No. If we go, God, what's going on? Move past just washing our hands to God, purify my heart. God, what wound got poked from my past? Because you know that most of the time, whatever's happening in the present, it ain't really about the present. You know that, right? That it's actually something deeper going on. But see, most of us just stop here and we never get to here. And we never experience metamorphosis. We never experience the kind of soul transformation God is trying to use our present circumstances, be them however big or small they are. Most of us run away at this point. We're like, oh, Most of, right? We just unfriend them. We just whatever. And it's too hard. It's too, well, scary. But see, purifying our heart only comes, church, when we respond positively in these moments and don't just blow them off or ignore them. God wants us to confess. He wants us to go to him and say, God, forgive me. James chapter 5, just one chapter later, he says, confess your sins one to another and you'll be healed. Listen, confession is so huge. And again, not just confessing, oh, sorry, wash, and I'm done. No. To grieve, to feel it, to mourn, to lay in it for a minute, to actually go to people that we go, man, I recognize that when I was in that sinful state, that hurt you. And I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry that you felt that way. No. I'm sorry I acted that way. I'm sorry I behaved that way. Purify our hearts. And then number three is the wail. This is, our word would be consecration. Consecration, and it's interesting to me that he says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, and then he makes this reference, you double-minded. See, church, watch. This is the deepest part, a changing of our mind. This is to use the butterfly illustration, this is the darkest, scariest, loneliest, slimiest cocoon moment, where God has actually got us at a place of humility in him, where he can actually change how we think. See, when we truly slow down in humility and embrace brokenness and allow God to search the deepest places of the motivations of our heart, God, why? Change me. I don't want to live like this. I need you. Deliver me, God. That's the moment. David talked about it, Psalm 139, beautiful verse. He said, you've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. In other words, you know everything about me. You perceive, look, my thoughts, my every thought from afar. See, what God is trying to do is transform our mind. Romans chapter 12 talks about it. Paul writes and he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In other words, because you've hit this threshold of scary and God is showing up or trying to show up in your life, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship is not just singing or lifting our hands in church during the first three songs. No. Worship is offering our whole body. Going, God, I'm on the altar at this threshold of scary. That's worship. And then he tells us why. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be, here's the word, say it, transformed by the renewing what? Of our mind. Do you see it? Grieve, mourn, wail. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, change your mind. And then, here's why. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. How do we get to the other side? This is how. The renewing of our mind. That's what God is up to. It's a transformation around here, Next Level Church. We say this, growth is transformation. How do you define growth? Growth is being transformed. No other thing. It is transformation. That's what it is. So, back to our illustration. When a friend or a spouse, a pastor, a leader, or the convicting Holy Spirit of God starts challenging us, if we react and allow God to dig deeper, the ultimate goal of God is that you and I reach the end of ourselves and we realize a greater perspective and dimension of his grace than we have ever known before. That's what God's trying to do. But if we don't, James warns us, what will we become? We'll become double-minded. And it all goes back to what? To one thing, humility. Every day, every moment, every season, every time we hit a threshold of scary, those outward signs appear. This is what he wants. Verse 8. Humble yourselves. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get us to humble ourselves, to be aware of our sinfulness and say, God, I'm at a threshold of scary. I need you, Jesus, again. That's what he's trying to do. But here's the reality. If you and I won't cross our threshold of scary, then guess what? We begin moving backward. And for me, this is the scariest place of all. Here's why. Because most of the time, we don't even realize it's happening. And ever so subtly, the flow of the Spirit starts to dry up. And ever so subtly, instead of being led by the Spirit, we're now being led by the flesh, and we got to push it in the flesh, and we got to push harder in the works of the flesh, and all of that. And all of a sudden, the flow of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit die. And here's the thing. The big Bible word for moving backwards is deception. And I can't tell you how many times in 28 years of serving Jesus, there have been times where I have seen people and myself, find myself going, what's going on? God, why do I feel like I'm in darkness? God, why do I feel like I can't hear your voice? God, what's going on in me? And suddenly I realize the Holy Spirit turns on his searchlight and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm moving backward. See, the problem with deception is we don't know when we're deceived. That's why this is so dangerous. And that's why we have to be willing to cross our threshold of scary, because Paul writes to Timothy and he says, listen, the ultimate end result of someone who won't cross their threshold and is walking backwards, there's a whole list of things he says in verses 1 to 4. Then in verse 5 he says, but the result is they have a form. This is why it's so dangerous. Because deception will lead us to a place where we look like it, but we don't have power. This is how we grow. This is why this matters. This is why. Which brings us to a choice. Big red X. It's a choice. It's a choice. Every day, I'm telling you, church, I've been walking with Jesus for 28 years. I can't tell you how many times, big ones, I probably have a big threshold of scary like this. I don't know, 2 or 3 times a year, for real. 2 or 3 times a year, easily. And a small threshold of scary, 100 times a year. I'm not exaggerating. This is how we grow. This is what it looks like to walk into this valley, this season of brokenness, to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into what we know we want, which is to be more like Christ. So what is it? What's the threshold of scary? What is this? It's the cross. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. But church, here's what I want us to understand this weekend. What's this? What we think is so scary actually is love. It's love. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear, including being scared. That's a form of fear. So watch this. When we look at our threshold of scary, we're like, oh my goodness, it's so big, and oh, it's so deep, and it's so dark, and it's cocoon, and it's slimy and unknown. God's going, if you will trust me, if you will trust my love, if you will trust me, I will show you that there's nothing to fear in God's love. Yeah, but Matt, it's so hard. I know. But it's the hard stuff that grows us. The Bible calls it discipline, Hebrews chapter 12. My son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't lose heart when you hit a threshold of scary, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son or daughter. What's God up to? That's what God's up to. We think it's a threshold of scary. God goes, it's just more of my love. It's just more of my cross. Listen, when you and I choose to cross the threshold of scary, guess what? Sin is wiped away because Jesus dealt with it once and for all on the cross. When you and I choose to cross the threshold of scary, guess what? Our sin is forgiven. Our guilt and shame is gone. We're not condemned. It's not scary. It's the love of God that compels us. God has so much more for us. So much more. And you know you want it. Will you cross the threshold? Will you embrace more of His love? That's what's available to us, church. Every moment, every day. That's what's available. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray. I want us to pray together. Because I just believe that right now so many of us are feeling the loving conviction of God, of our Heavenly Father who loves us so much that He's not content to leave us where we are. And He's calling us gently, lovingly across our threshold of scary. And He's saying to us, listen, if you'll step across, my perfect love will be enough for you. So God, right now, I pray for every single person who's listening to this message. God, our hearts are open, Lord. We are convicted. We are exposed in our sinfulness. Well, wretched man that I am, like Paul, God, that's how we're feeling. Because we can see the threshold and You're calling us across. But Lord, like the centurion who had a sick soldier, he came to You and he said, Jesus, I believe, heal my unbelief. God, would You heal our unbelief? God, would You give us courage? Would You call us across? Call us across, I pray. In Jesus' name, staying in this atmosphere of prayer real quick. I believe it's possible some of us have come in to one of our services this weekend and you're not a Christian. And your first threshold of scary is salvation. It's the cross of Jesus. That's why Jesus came, because God looked at us and He said, they're never going to make it on their own. They're going to need a Savior to get them across. And so He sent perfect love. He sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross. And all we have to do is acknowledge that we're sinners. Well, that ought to be easy after a talk like this. And believe that what Jesus did was payment for our sin, forgiveness for our sin, and then just confess it out. So I want to give you a chance to do that. Listen, whatever room you're in right now, I want to invite you. I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, if you want to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, will you throw your hand up and keep it up real fast? Come on, one, two, three. Throw it up right now. Come on, Matt, include me in. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. Keep it up just for a second. God, You see these hands. And Lord Jesus, we're throwing up our hand because our heart is so open. And Lord Jesus, we know, God, that we feel Your conviction. And Lord, You don't convict us out of condemnation. You bring conviction out of love. And so, Lord, we respond and we need a Savior. And so right now, by throwing up our hand and believing in our heart, we just say yes to You. We invite You to come into our life, God. Make us clean. Wash us clean. Make us a son and daughter of God. Because that is what we are. So God, we pray this now in Jesus' mighty name. And then Lord, I pray for each and every person who's standing at their threshold that You, God, would give us courage to cross our threshold of scary this weekend. May we step across in this moment, God, no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. This ain't scary. It's just love. We respond to You now in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.